So we've got conventions on the brain. I mean, there's, as Femi was just talking about there, there's the front story. It is what you see from the podium. And then there's the backstory at the conventions. There was a lot of design and not a lot of spontaneity at both of these conventions in Denver and St. Paul. Campaigns design their conventions to within an inch of, within a nanosecond of the script, I would say.
I was going to say within a flash frame.
Exactly,
how about that?
Exactly. And joining us to talk about the design, maybe deconstruct the visual components of both of these conventions, is Steve Heller. He has a keen eye for political details. He chairs the master's program in design at the School of Visual Arts in New York. And he's a good friend. I've been with the New York Times for eons and eons. If you read the New York Times Book Review, that's Steve Heller's work every week. Steve, good morning.
Hi, John. How are you?
Now, you observed both of these conventions. What do you think was an absolutely characteristic scripted moment at both of these conventions?
The scripted moments are always when those little placards are raised at the end of every sentence, sometimes in the middle of every sentence.
So that's actually orchestrated?
Those are orchestrated. I mean, it's like going to a Knicks game and waving those white fingers behind the basket.
Now, of course, those people aren't told to do that. They're just passionate fans. And so I guess what you're saying is that the look of the audience and the gestures of the audience, as well as what goes on stage, is all part of the visual design of both of these conventions.
It's stagecraft. The whole thing is stagecraft. It's branding. It's you brand your party, you brand your ideology, and you brand your audience as well.
So what were the brands in Denver, and what was the brand in St. Paul, if you can...
Well, the brand in Denver was Obamacization. You know, the one thing that was missing from the convention was the Democratic donkey. That's been with us forever, that old mule.
That is true. I don't think I saw it once.
And it wasn't there. Now, it wasn't there for any number of reasons, but I presume it wasn't there to suggest change, that they're not going back to the old Democratic traditions. They're starting new Democratic traditions. So Obama bathed the stadium and, certainly bathed the convention center with what I call Obama blue.
What do you make of the styrofoam Greek columns that Governor Palin made much of the other night?
She sure liked them.
Yeah, she seemed to not like them. But that really impressive stadium set, what do you think that said?
Well, it said an awful lot of things. I mean, it did say rock concert, and what's wrong with that? The set was, as people have pointed out since, a replica of the White House. It gave it a stately quality. I didn't know they were styrofoam. I'm impressed.
Yeah, actually, I don't know that they're styrofoam either, but that's what Sarah Palin said.
Well, Sarah Palin says it was styrofoam.
Then they're styrofoam.
Right, then they're styrofoam, right. What about the Republicans? What about St. Paul?
The Republicans was no frills. The Republicans had this one big screen as if they hadn't heard of digital technology, and this was their concession to it. But it was huge, and of course you saw the American flag furrowing, whatever
and
the word
is. What did you
is.
Make of their colors when you were talking about the Obama blue? You want to describe that briefly, and then the color scheme that the Republicans put together, what sense did that give you?
Well, Obama blue is a cross between sky and robin's egg. It's not navy blue. It's not the heavy-handed blue of the campaigns of even Hillary. Hillary used that. And it was a pleasing, soothing, embracing color, a comfort food kind of color. And there were hints of red. There were shades of red. So you got the patriotism in there, but it wasn't patriotic kitsch. What you had at the Republican convention was much more overt patriotism. That's what they do. That's their message.
So glossy red, whites, and blue.
Glossy reds, red, whites, and blue. That's their diaper.
With a folksy kind of trim, though, right? With all of those so-called homemade signs that turn out weren't homemade at all.
Well, the homemade signs, you know, that brings you back to baseball games and any kind of mass. You know, they were trying to appeal to the lumpen, perhaps. But yes, they were. If you look closely at them, there was a very similar lettering style to many of them.
But let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, do you sign up to do the hand-painted signs? I mean, is there like a hand-painted signs sweatshop, or is there a laser printer that does the hand-painted look? And if you make a hand-painted sign, do you have to only use approved paint at one of these conventions? Is that how it works?
How cynical you are.
Well, I don't know. I mean, no, you're a graphic designer. You know about this stuff.
But this is all about cynicism, isn't it? I mean, the point is that they each party, and they both participate in it. I mean, they are down to every single detail. They plan it out, and it's really more about television, isn't it, than it is about the people who are sitting in the
True.
Room.
True. It's about theatrics. I thought of this as I saw all those signs and all the signs going up of North Korea. I don't want to make that such a connection, but, you know, the people who go to those stadiums for their leaders' birthdays, they are given placards and they're color-coded. And when a certain snap of the fingers goes, you see those signs turn into the face of the leader or the face of a missile or whatever. These are the American version. There's a little bit of anarchy. There's a little bit of staged anarchy.
And a lot of television. I mean, certainly everybody who goes to a television show in a studio is... The crowd is warmed up by the crowd warmer, and there are signs to tell you when to laugh and applaud, sort of thing. So we've really ritualized this partly because of television and partly because of maybe some of these more Kremlin-esque rituals of politics.
Well, that's just the nature of propaganda. I mean, you're forced into a certain way of behavior so that the message can go out. But what's interesting
we're almost out of time here. I want to sort of end it on, so if this was Steve Heller's design cable show, all right, which convention won the best design award?
Well, I hate to say it, but the Republicans won the best simply for function.
Really?
It was a functional, it looked less staged than the Democrats.
Is that a function of the fact that the Obama campaign has so much money they could spend lavishly on anything, and the Republicans maybe didn't and were forced to kind of bob and weave and be a little more creative?
I think the Obama campaign looks at design as something very important, and they look at sophistication and cosmopolitanism, and the Republicans are trying to get away from that.
Well, from now on till the end of this campaign, we get to look for Obama Blue and glossy red, white, and blue Republican.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks for that. Obama Blue.
All right. We will look for that.
It's going to be on the market soon.
Steve Heller chairs the
master's
program. I don't
doubt it, actually, Steve.
In design at the School of Visual Arts in New York. He joined us here in the studio. Steve, thanks so much.
Lots of ways to catch up with us at The Takeaway. You can find us on Twitter, FriendFeed, and Facebook.
We, of course, are following the latest design and content from the last day of the Republican National Convention, the stage magic of both conventions. And we're also following the human price of gold, a fascinating interview with Dora Digit a little while ago.
And here's one of the possible takeaways.
Guess what? Voting actually starts this month in some states, so we'll get some ballots cast real soon.
I think a lot of voters are like, finally, let's get into the voting booth.
Yeah,
that was the Takeaway political director, Andrea Bernstein. Some of those states, just so you know, include South Dakota, which starts September 23rd, and early voting in Ohio, a critical swing state, begins on the 30th.
And if you want to vote early but are having trouble picking your candidate before you get into the booth, we're here to help at the Takeaway. We've got a new tool on Facebook we've been telling you about. It's called Who Should I Vote For? And it lives up to its name. All you have to do is enter three qualities you'd like to see in your next president, and other Facebook users will tell you who you should vote for. We're making politics easy for you at the Takeaway. Steve, North Korea, that was your... So we would call these people dear leaders?
Dear leaders is good.
Dear leaders?
Yeah, yeah.
Dear leaders, I like
or
that.
Or doe leaders.
Yes. There's a link to our homepage.
Thank you, Steve.
TheTakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji, and this has been the Helpful Takeaway.
Helpful. Useful.
Useful.
Useful. Take it with you.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.